This is the Beinoni, the intermediate man, who is the central character and feature of the Alter Rebbe Sefer HaTanya. The standard, complete editions of this work include the following five parts, each of which is an independent treatise. Part 1, Likutei Amarim, Tanya, Sefer Shel Beinonim, comprising a foreword and 53 chapters. Part 2, Sha'ar HaYichud VaEmuna, which means Portal of Unity and Faith, with a foreword and 12 chapters. Part 3, Igeres HaTshuva, which means Epistle of Repentance, with 12 chapters. Part 4, Igeres HaKodesh, Sacred Epistle, with 32 sections. Part 5, Kuntres Acheron, which means the latest treatise. So these are the five sections of the Tanya. We will, of course, begin with the first section of the Tanya, as mentioned, called either Likutei Amarim, Sefer Shel Beinonim, or Tanya. We'll commence with learning the Sha'ar Blat, the title page of the Tanya, for two reasons. A, unlike many other title pages, this one was written by the author himself. And B, the title page defines the nature and function of this book.
The title page is printed in the beginning of the book. In the editions that you're using presently, it's on page 11 in the Roman numerals. Let's read inside. Sefer Likutei Amarim Chelek Rishon. This is the Sefer Likutei Amarim, a compilation of teachings, part 1. Hanikra B'Shem Sefer Shel Beinonim, entitled The Book of the Ordinary Men, of the Intermediates. The Alter Rebbe is saying that this is not a book about or for extraordinary men. Rather, its primary focus is on the ordinary man, the Beinoni, which serves as the central character of this fascinating book, is not the man who is holy, spiritual, godly, and saintly. He is not the individual who eradicated from himself every iota of evil. He is not that person who metamorphosized his entire identity and character. The Beinoni, as will be explained later on in great detail, is rather that human being who possesses a duality in his life. He is the man who experiences a deep conflict in his psyche, a battle between an egotistical identity and a transcendental identity. It is he that this Sefer attempts to address, to guide him and direct him in his trials and tribulations, in his ups and downs, times of ecstasy and times of depression, to allow him to keep his head high above the water and fulfill his mission and destiny on earth. The Alter Rebbe continues that this Sefer of ordinary men is Malukat Mipi Svarim U Mipi Seifrim Kedai She Elyon Nishmasam Eden. It is compiled from sacred books and from teachers of heavenly saintliness whose souls are in Eden. The Alter Rebbe is saying that this Sefer is collected from the Svarim of Torah, beginning, of course, with the Tanakh, the Talmud, the Midrash, and all of Torah literature of subsequent generations, as well as Mipi Sefrim, from teachers. Hasidic tradition understands books, Mipi Svarim, as a reference specifically to the works of the 12th century great sage codifier and philosopher Reb Moshe ben Maimon the Rambam, as well as the works of the great mystics, sages and rabbis of the 16th century, the Arizal Reb Yitzchak Luria from Tzvas, the Maharal Rabbi Yehuda Leva from Prague, and the Shalom Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz with the words mipisayfrim from teachers, the author is referring specifically to the founder of the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov, as well as his pupil and disciple, the Magid of Mizrich.
Miyusad al pasuk ikarei veilecha adaver ma'od beficha v'vavchala seisei. This sefer shel Beinanim is based upon the pasuk ikarei veilecha. There's a pasuk ikarei veilecha adaver ma'od, which means that this thing, this matter, is very near to you in your mouth, in your heart, so that you may do it. What do we mean that the Sefer is based on this verse? L'vayir heitev, explaining clearly eichu karav ma'id, how it is exceedingly near, v'derech arucha uktzara, in the long, shorter way. Moshe Rabbeinu talks to the Jewish people in Parshas Nitzavim and Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and further, and he says, and I quote, Ki amitzva hazay sasher anechi mitzavcha ayayim loy niflesi mimcha v'loy rechayki. For this commandment that I command you today is not hidden from you and it is not distant. Loy bashamayim hi leymar miyala lanu hashamayim v'yikachah lanu v'yashmienu oysa v'nasena. It is not in heaven for you to say, who can ascend to the heaven for us and take it for us so that we can listen to it and perform it? Nor is it across the sea for you to say, who can cross to the other side of the sea for us, take it for us, so that we can listen to it and perform it. Rather, the matter is very near to you, in your mouth and your heart to perform it. So the Alter Rebbe says, the Sefer is coming to explain, its primary function is to clarify, how indeed can we say that it's exceedingly near to you, that it's kikarev elecha davar ma'ayid, in your mouth and in your heart to perform it. What is the problem? What is the problem with understanding this pasuk? On the most basic level, the Torah and the mitzvahs, which is what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about, are the Creator's blueprint for creation. They detail the exact manner in which Hashem means life to be lived, so that His purpose in creation should be fulfilled. But this life of Torah and mitzvahs, for a human being to live his life, and every aspect of it in accordance with the blueprint of Torah and mitzvahs, is extremely difficult. And the question comes to mind, is it indeed a feasible goal? Can the ordinary every man realistically be expected to conduct the every act of his life, every word, every activity, every thought of his life should be in accordance with the Torah's most demanding directives? Well, the Torah itself is quite clear on that matter. Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's not across the sea, it's not in heaven, it's karev elecha davar miyayit, it's exceedingly near to you. In other words, Torah is saying that the Torah true existence is not an abstract ideal, is not a lofty endeavor, is not an unrealistic mission, it's not a point of reference to strive forward, but between you and I, we know that it's not real. Rather, it's something practical, and it's an attainable goal. And the question is, how? That's on the most basic problem with this pasuk, Kikarev Elecha Davar Miyayit. In addition to that, however, there's something deeper that plagues every honest thinking and searching person who comes in contact with Yiddishkeit, with Torah and mitzvahs. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to us and says, this doctrine, this Torah that I have given to you from Hashem in the desert, this Torah is not Bashamayim, It's not in heaven. It's not me'ever liyam. It's not across the sea. It's karav elecha. Ma'ayit. It's something which is very near to you. What Moshe is implying is that Torah and mitzvahs is something that is near, relevant, and intimately close to the person's life. And anyone who ever thought about this knows that the obvious question is that at some level it doesn't seem to be so. When we ponder the nature of the spiritual truths and values that the Torah endeavors to impress upon our life, we come to ask the question, after everything said and done, is the Torah and mitzvahs a set of premises and rules which is superimposed upon us, subjugating our singular identities to an alien and remote doctrine? Or are they true expressions of our real selves? Does the Torah demand from the Jewish individual to deny his intrinsic characteristics and feelings, to repress his natural disposition, to ignore his innermost passions? Can the absolutes of Yiddishkeit in one word become real? Can they become truly real? Moshe Rabbeinu says, yeah. Karev elecha davar miyoit. And immediately we wonder, is that indeed so? We know ourselves. Godliness, spirituality, Yiddishkeit, doesn't seem to be what we are naturally all about. We are physical, mortal, finite men. We are attracted and we define ourselves by our physical needs, by our physical pleasures, sometimes by things that are more sophisticated, more transcendental. But after everything said and done, our lives do not seem to be godly. Torah and mitzvahs comes and introduces a new element into our life. So the question is, does a Jew have to live his entire life and ultimately in the depth of his heart feel that this is not who I am? I'm resigning myself, I'm subjugating myself, I'm being subservient to ultimately a remote doctrine which is not the real me? Or it can become karev elecha. It can become something that one can really celebrate at every moment of his life. Yeshaya HaNavi laments in Perek of Tess and Pasuk Yud Gimel. He says, Vayomer Hashem Yan ki nigash ha'am hazeh befiv uvisvasov kibduni v'libo yirichak mimeni v'tihi yirasam oisi mitzvahs anoshim ilumada. Hashem complains and he says, inasmuch as this people has drawn close with its mouth and its lips, it has indeed honored me, yet it has distanced its heart from me. Their fear of me is like rote learning of human commandments. There can be a Jew who grew up in a home where Torah was studied and mitzvahs were performed and observed, but nevertheless, ultimately, it's mitzvahs anashim l'mada. The fear of Hashem, the relationship to godliness, to spirituality, is done out of rote. And there are many, many levels and layers and facets, every individual according to who he or she is, background, affiliation, level of observance, every person according to their own personality. The Alter Rebbe attempts, in a thorough and honest manner, to describe how Torah mitzvahs is karev ma'id, how a person can have an intimate and close relationship with godliness in a very real, internal, honest way.
Yes, I understand you. I want to repeat your question. You're asking, why do we have to interpret the Pasuk Karev Elecha Davar Miyoit as denoting that Torah and mitzvahs are indeed relevant and intimately close with the human condition and experience? Why can't we just interpret the pasuk simply that karev elecha davar miyoid, that it's very near to you to actually perform Torah and mitzvahs on a practical level, on a concrete level, to do mitzvahs? Yeah, it's a very good question. You would be right if the pasuk would delete the word belavavcha, If the pasuk would say kikarev elecha davar miyot b'ficha la'asaisai, that would mean that this matter of Torah, this mitzvah hazayis, this matter is very exceedingly near to you, in your mouth, so that you may perform it. But the pasuk adds the word karev elecha davar miyot b'ficha uvelevavcha, in your mouth and in your heart, which means that the Torah is teaching us over here that it is karev ma'ait. That Torah is karev ma'ait. Torah is very near to you, not only in your mouth, and that you may implement it and do it, but rather belevavcha, in your heart. It's very close to your heart, which means that Torah and mitzvahs can permeate and penetrate one's inner emotions, feelings, attitudes, one's heart. Not just that it's easy to perform every day Torah and mitzvahs as a result of acceptance of the divine yoke, whether you like it or you dislike it, whether you celebrate it or you don't celebrate it, whether you feel for it or you don't feel for it. Much more than that. Belevavcha means that it becomes part of who I am. It becomes part of my heart. The human being can develop a deep internal feeling towards it. He can really love it. And over here is the question. Mele, if you say that a human being should perform Torah and mitzvahs in a robotic fashion, he should just go ahead and do it, we can perhaps maybe understand why it's karev elecha. Because you just go ahead and you do it. This is what your Creator wants, so you go and you perform it. But belevavcha means that it becomes part of your character, of your identity. And naturally, it doesn't seem to be so. Torah and mitzvahs is not part of who we are. Materialism is what materialism, our wants and desires towards materialism, seems to be part of our real character. No one is going to say that the fact that you desire to eat or to sleep is superimposed upon your character. The fact that now, right now, you're going to eat dinner or breakfast or whatever it is something that's alien to you, that is added to your character, that has been imposed upon you. But the Yiddishkeit and all of its facets and details and many aspects seems often, yes, to be remote and alien from who we naturally are. And this is what Alter Rebbe is coming to address. To explain very well, Eichu Karev Moed. And by the way, when we understand this, the other problem with Karev Ma'id is also answered. Even on the most basic level of interpretation, as you suggested we should interpret it, that Karev Ma'id means that the human being can live a life of Torah and mitzvahs. Even that's very difficult to understand. How is it Karev Ma'id? It seems to be often a goal that cannot be reached. That every nuance of your life should be consistent with the blueprint of Torah is something which apparently is not Karev Ma'id. It's quite difficult. It's pretty tough and hard. So can you say that it's very easy, it's exceedingly near to you to perform Torah and mitzvahs, that every iota of your life should be absolutely consistent with the Shulchan Aruch? Only when the human being learns how Torah and mitzvahs is part of his intimate self, only when he learns how to love it and celebrate it, how to really create a bond and a connection between his psyche and character and the Torah, then it's karev elecha also on the practical and concrete level. Then he can actually attain the goal of a living from day to day, from moment to moment, based on the blueprint of the Creator, which is HaMitzvah HaZois, Torah HaMitzvahs.
It's a very good question. You're asking that Ki HaMitzvah HaZois, that Moshe Rabbeinu says over here, is apparently referring to the Mitzvah of Tshuva, which he discusses in the previous Pesukim, versus I was explaining that HaMitzvah HaZeis refers to the general concept of Torah Mitzvahs. So indeed, the commentators on this pasuk bring two interpretations, two possible interpretations, Ramban, Kleyakar, and Mormafarshim, bring two ways of either interpreting HaMitzvah HaZais on the entire Torah, or interpreting it specifically referring to the Mitzvah of Tshuva. It's interesting, in the Abar Benel, on his commentary on this Pasuk, he interprets it on Tshuva, and afterwards he continues and he says, V'amnam Chazal b'dvarim Rabbah, Pirshu HaMitzvah HaZais al Kolos HaTorah Amru, that our sages in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Dvarim, Parshas Ches Piska Zayin, interpret this Pasuk as referring to the entire spectrum of Torah and Mitzvahs. I would just like to add that even if one interprets Ki HaMitzvah HaZais as referring to the Mitzvah of Tshuva, of return, of repentance, repentance and Tshuva ultimately encompasses the entire Torah and Mitzvahs, because Tshuva is a general Mitzvah where one returns to Hashem. So if one can learn how the Mitzvah of Tshuva is Karavei Lecha, one can also come to learn how the general spectrum and reality of Torah and Mitzvahs is Karavei Lecha. Alter Rebbe continues that the Tanya was written to explain how it's Karav Ma'id B'derech Arucha Uktzara, in the long, shorter way. What does he mean with these words? He's referring to an interesting episode that is related in Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, tells the story about Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says that once in my life a child got the better of me. What happened? Pa'am achas ayisi b'halach mederech. Once I was traveling, v'ra'isi tinoik yeshav ha'parashas drachim, and I met a child at a crossroads. V'amarti loy be'eze derech ne'lech liyir. I asked the child, which way to the city? Amar li, he answered, Zu k'tzara v'arucha, v'zu arucha k'tzara. This way is short and long, and this way is long and short. Which way would you take? The long and short way, or the short and long way? Well, let's see what Rabbi Yeshua did. What he did was, halachti b'k'tzara v'arucha. It sounded to him much more sensible to take the short and long way. Short is the first word in the statement of, in the sentence of the child. So he took that way. Kivon shigati liyir matzasi shemakifinois aganois opardes. But soon I reached the city. But when I reached the city, I found my approach obstructed by gardens and orchards. So what did I do? Halach azarti la'achayrai. I went back. I retracted my steps. Amarti le'bnia le'amarti le'ktzara. I told the child, my son, did you not tell me that this is the short way? Amar li v'loyamarti v'yalamarti l'cha arucha. Did I not tell you that it is the long way? I told you tak is the short way, but I also told you it's the long way. Mashakti v'arayshai, I kissed him on his head, v'amarti le, and I told him, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you Jewish people, shekulchem chachamim g'daylem atem, g'daylchem v'aktamchem, that you are all so wise, from the oldest to the youngest, from the senior citizens to the young little Yiddish kinderlach, little children. So a child is telling Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, when he embarks on a journey towards a city, that there are two ways. There's a derech tzara v'arucha, there's the short, longer way, and there's a derech arucha tzara, there's the long, shorter way. What's the difference? The short, longer way is very short. You would not have to walk long, and you approach the city, you're there. But ultimately it's long, because your path is obstructed and blocked by orchards, by obstacles, and you cannot enter the city. The other road is Derech Arucha Ktzara, is the long, shorter way, which is very long, and you have to walk and walk, and you do not see the city. The walking is very long, but once you reach, it's short. You can immediately enter the portals, the gates, the doors of the city, and you're inside. Comes the Alter Rebbe and he says, in the Tanya I would like to attempt to explain how Torah and Mitzvahs is Karev Ma'it, is very close to you in the long, shorter way. You see, the questions I raised earlier to you can be answered in a short, longer way. When a Jew comes to a friend of his, to his teacher, to his master, to his rabbi, to his parents, and he laments, he complains, that I do not feel that Yiddishkeit is real to me. I do not feel it's part of my life. I do not feel that Hashem, that His mitzvahs, that Shabbos, that tefillin, mezuzahs, Torah, is part and parcel of real reality between you and I. What do you do? What do you do? It's a good question. And the question, I phrase it one way, but it can be asked in many, many of ways, and people, everyone asks it in one way or another. Because no one can escape this question. Everyone has a response to it, because this is what our relationship to Hashem is, what our relationship to our people, to Yiddishkeit is. So there is, to be sure, a short, longer way. There is a way of what's called instant inspiration. You say a beautiful story, a beautiful joke, a beautiful anecdote, a beautiful vart, and you inspire the person. You show him how beautiful Yiddishkeit is, how beautiful a mitzvah is, how beautiful this idea is, this concept. And he's on the road to the city of God. He's on the road to Ir HaElokeinu. And it's short. He reached it. He's inspired. He's overwhelmed. He's overtaken. You brought him to tears, to joy, to celebration. Problem is, it's short, but it's long. Why? Because what was not dealt with was the issue on its most basic, deep, and fundamental level. It's like when someone is not feeling well, you take a Tylenol. Tylenol can help to remove the headache. And if it's only a headache, that's fine. But if it's something deeper, removing the symptoms is not really dealing with the illness itself. One has to probe deeper. So Derech Tzara V'Arucha would be explained this in a short, longer way. Alter Rebbe said, I do not want to do it. The Tanya is presented in a long, shorter way. Long means it's a long road. It's a difficult sefer that requires learning, thinking, contemplation, studying. Every single one can do it. Every word of the Tanya lends itself to every single person's mind and heart and consciousness. But it's a long way. It's a serious way. It's an honest way. It's a long journey. But the Alter Rebbe says it's Ktsara. Ultimately, it's a short way. Why? Because when you get it, you'll really get it. When you have it, you'll have it. Derech Tzara V'Arucha, you never really had it. You were overwhelmed. It was external, ultimately. And therefore, constantly, there'll be new obstructions and new concealments. It did not permeate you. It did not penetrate you. When you're dealing with a derech harucha oktara, you're dealing with a long road. It's winding, it's steep, it's tedious. It's sometimes as long as life itself, this road. It's full of ups and downs, setbacks and frustrations. It demands from a person commitment, honesty, intellectual devotion, really intellectual devotion and emotional devotion. But it's a road that leads a human being into the city of Hashem, making it a true, internal, honest, lifelong, fulfilling endeavor. That's the Derech Arucha Ktana. And the Alter Rebbe concludes the last word, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, with the aid of the Holy One, Blessed Be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means, of course, that the writing of the Tanya and fulfilling this task is being done with the aid of Hashem. Deeper, however, the Alter Rebbe is saying that ultimately, after everything said and done, one gains the greatest help and assistance and aid in enabling his life to become connected with Hashem through Hashem Himself, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which aids a person with His divine providence every moment and hour of his life. As mentioned before, the Alter Rebbe did not allow the Tanya to go to publishing, to be printed, until he received approbations of two of his senior colleagues and disciples of the Maggid, Rabbi Zushav Anipal and Rabbi Yehuda Leib HaKohen. He sent the manuscript of the Tanya with two emissaries to them. They both lived in a city called Anipali, to review the text and to write their askama, to write their approbation. The story is told that the emissaries arrived to Anipali in the evening, and they had two copies of the manuscript. One copy they presented to Rabbi Yehuda Leib, and one copy they presented to Rabbi Zusha. Rabbi Yehuda Leib began reading the text of the Tanya. 1 hour, 2 hours, a few hours, and midnight he could not contain himself. He was simply overwhelmed and entered such a state of ecstasy and joy that he decided that he has to run to his colleague Reb Zusha in the middle of the night and wake him up and show him what's going on. What's going on in the safe. So it's 12 midnight or 1 midnight, and Reb Yehuda Leib runs out of his home And Anipali was a small town, but it had two sides, and there was a bridge connecting it. Rabbi Yudaleib lived on one side, Rabbi Zusha lived on the other side. So he came running over the bridge to wake up Rabbi Zusha and to show him the Sefer. Rabbi Zusha also started to read the manuscript. And he also began reading it in an hour, another hour, and it came midnight. And his heart went on fire. And he decided he has to go awake Rabbi Yudaleib and show him the manuscript. So he ran out of his house. And at some point they both met in the middle of the road, both holding the manuscript of Tanya. And they say that the whole Anipali went aflame, went on fire. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichel Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichel Menachem at 718-633-1076.